This podcast is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. Spoiler warning for whatever is in the title of this episode.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to thehorrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible and all other major podcast apps.
Welcome to, I noticed this recently, I always say, welcome to a very special bonus episode, so I'm going to say, welcome to a very normal bonus episode.
A mundane bonus episode.
Yeah, an average, what do they call it? A very muggle bonus episode.
C-minus.
C-minus episode of the Horror of Babylon, where we discuss the new Stephen King adaptation, The Boogeyman. Not The Boogerman.
The Boogerton.
I am Ryan, and with me, as always, is Daniel. Say hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
And we want to say thank you to our patrons, Abigail the Fire Breaker, Chains Mother of Dragons, and...
Logan.
The Full Metal Patron. And thank you to Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, which you can visit at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And say hello to Ronald III, Grampus of Christmas, who is... always goes to high school girls' slumber parties and locks girls in rooms where people committed suicide in their house and then makes them feel like shit about it when they get upset.
You're being dramatic.
What is her problem?
Do you remember how, like, we talked about over top, the top bullies for Pet Sematary 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're pretty over the top, but unfortunately... that's a real like girls high school.
No, I have five sisters. No, yeah. that one I recognize.
Mm-hmm. All right, trigger warning for this movie and our discussion, death of children. I will say not nearly as Mini. Extreme
as we wanted.
Wow, well, I don't know how much I wanted it, but compared to the short story or Pet Sematary or the Pet Sematary films, not nearly as upsetting, but it's still there.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of the dark, probably not the best movie to watch.
High school bullies.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of something mean to say.
If you recently lost a parent,
yeah,
this movie explores that a lot.
If you haven't done drugs, but you want to do drugs in front of your friends.
maybe you should do a trial run with drugs before you do it in front of your friends.
Yeah. Oh, the tooth. If you're afraid of your teeth getting ripped out.
That was pretty gross.
That was pretty bad.
Okay, so this is the first time we've all seen this. We are recording this on June 2nd, which is the official release date, but of course it came out the night prior, so some people may have seen it the evening of June 1st.
The vampires are pure myth, superstition.
I may be able to bring you proof that the superstition of yesterday can become the scientific reality of today.
So let's go ahead and jump in to background. This film is, of course, based on the short story The Boogeyman by Stephen King from the Night Shift collection, and it was directed by Rob Savage. Maybe you have heard of Dashcam or Soulmates or Host or Britannia. I have not.
Me either.
Okay. And then the movie was written by Brian Woods and Mark Heyman and Scott Beck. The original screenplay was written by Scott Beck and Brian Woods, And this movie was actually announced back in 2018, but then when Disney bought Fox and 20th Century Fox became 20th Century Films or whatever, it was canceled, but they revived it in 2021, which is good because it's always sad when shit like that happens. And it was the finished screenplay was written by Mark Heyman, who was a co-writer for Black Swan.
That's surprising.
And also wrote The Skeleton Twins with Bill Hader and Christina Wiig. Do you hear why you should never marry Christina Wiig?
Mm-mm.
She's a cheetah.
I need to get a recording of your daughter saying, "Shut up, Dad," for me to play in moments like that.
This movie had a budget of $35 million.
Yeah, I looked that up earlier, and I, like, before we went to go see it, I saw the budget. I'm like, oh man, that's a lot of money for a horror movie.
I'm not sure, like...
I just think it has steep competition in theaters right now, which is going to work against it.
It came out the same weekend as Spider-Man.
And a week after Little Mermaid.
Yeah, and Guardians is still in theaters. Mario is still in theaters. Yeah. Did Mario reach a billion?
Oh, yeah, it's like 1.2 now.
Yeah, it deserves it. It's excellent.
I still need to watch it.
I have a rant, but the short part of it is the movie's amazing and everybody needs to get the fuck over themselves, except...
I thought you were talking about Boogeyman at first.
I'm talking about Super Mario.
Okay.
Except I cannot swallow Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. I don't care.
I can't swallow Seth Rogen as anything. I think we collectively, as a society, need to decide not to cast him anymore.
I don't think I could be okay with Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong if Emma Watson would give me a hand job while I was watching the movie.
Seth Rogen should have played the boogeyman and then been caught on fire.
And he doesn't change his voice or act at all. He just speaks like Seth Rogen.
Yeah, because that's his range.
And fucking Chris Pratt, he pitches his voice higher.
Mm-hmm.
He does a little acting with Mario.
Yeah.
And Jack Black... for Bowser, he pitches his voice lower, and I think they do like some augmentation on his voice to make him sound a little deeper. But Seth Rogen is Donkey. It's just Seth Rogen. It's just, hey guys, what are you doing? Smoke weed. Oh God, I hate it. I hate it so much. All right, I'll cut that out. Nobody cares.
I think it's funny.
Yeah, but the movie's really good. I'm going to say one thing, and I'm not going to talk about Mario anymore. You know how when I watched Into the Spider-Verse, that was the first comic book movie that I felt like really rewarded you for actually having read the comic books.
Okay.
Because it really, it was a better movie-going experience if you knew the difference between Amazing Spider-Man and Ultimate Spider-Man. This movie made me feel the same way as a gamer. It made me feel like, well, I'm understanding this and all the various different aspects of this movie so much better because I've actually played all these games.
Are you excited for the sequel?
Yeah. I'm excited for the universe. I'll be more excited if they recast Donkey Kong.
What they should do is at the end of the next Mario movie is he meets Sonic from the Sonic movies for the Smash Brothers initiative.
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Detective Pikachu, so we can have more Chris Pratt.
That's Ryan Reynolds.
I don't know the difference.
I think the difference is that Ryan Reynolds looks hot all the time.
Okay.
And Chris Pratt looks hot some of the time.
I hate that that's right.
Yeah. Okay, we should probably talk about the boogeyman.
Yeah.
Let me go back to our thing. And obviously, we don't know how much money it'll make. I don't think it's going to be super successful, but it might do okay.
It might do okay. If I was a betting man, I'd say that it'll be lucky if it breaks even, because it's going to need to make about $70 million.
Yeah, the only thing that I think it might have going for it is, one, it's the only horror movie out right now.
Yeah.
Two, it does have Stephen King's name on it. So it's possible that the crowd who is sick of superhero movies may go see this instead.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
You're probably correct.
I have been wrong before.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible three-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle, good enough for The Simpsons.
Mr. Sizlak, I have a feeling there's going to be one more act to this story.
Well, I'm not hanging around for that. Four acts.
All right, so structure and themes. Let's talk about it as an adaptation of the short story. And I will say, I went into this, because of the trailer, I went into this with the absolute lowest expectations. And I thought they weren't going to use anything at all from the short story. And I was wrong.
Yeah, I was actually surprised.
It is not like a straight adaptation of the short story. Mm-hmm. But I think if you were not going to do a straight adaptation of the short story, this is probably the best route. Where it's weird. It's kind of hard to explain. But it's like...
It's like the short story plus.
It's like an in-universe expansion of the short story.
Yeah.
With if you ignore the fact that at the end of the short story, the Dr. Harper turns into the Boogeyman.
Yeah.
Aside from that, like, it's mostly plausible that this could be canon with the short story.
Almost. Like, if you bend some rules.
Yeah, if you bend a few rules and ignore one or two things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Lester Billing, the main character of the short story...
He's in it.
And our protagonists are the Harper family, which is... Dr. Harper in the short story is the therapist. Mm-hmm. And he's a character in this, and it's about him and his two daughters who have just lost their wife / mother. So, in terms of... it being an adaptation, I think it's decent.
I was expecting worse.
A lot worse.
And I don't know if that's making me go a little bit easier on it or not.
I think it might be because expectations really matter. And I was expecting garbage, and I got like...
middle of the road.
Yeah, it was very average. There was a lot of good, there was some bad.
Very Hollywood horror movie, I guess is what I would call it. It's like, this is what people jump at.
I think that the term I would use would be like, it's a very decent popcorn movie.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this isn't The Birds. This isn't Night of the Living Dead. But for a $6 movie ticket and grab some popcorn and go spend an hour and a half, like, it's a good experience. Yeah. It's fine.
Like, you can have... it'd be a fine date movie.
I think it would be, like, good for, like, a sleepover for middle school kids.
Yeah. Speaking of middle school kids, I want to give a shout-out to the two 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds that were sitting right behind us that talked through the whole movie.
And I am the type of person who will not shy away from telling people to be quieter in a movie theater. Yeah. I have done it many times. Like, when we saw Across the Spider-Verse, Emma and I sat next to a group of high school girls who talked all the way through the trailers, and Emma says, like, if they talk during the movie, I will cry. And I said, they won't. If they start talking, I will say something right away.
Yeah.
Because this movie was a big deal for Emma.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They shut up as soon as the movie started.
That's good, at least.
Yeah, I don't get on to people if they talk during the trailers, but if they talk during the movie, I will say something. But these girls were on and off super entertaining.
And super annoying.
Yeah.
It was like, either or. Like, there were times when their reactions were making me enjoy the movie more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, I don't know, kind of like when you were in high school or junior high and you went to go see a spooky movie. It kind of reminded me of that.
Like, before we were so jaded.
Yeah.
And so desensitized.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee that middle school, early high school me would have liked this movie a lot more.
A lot more.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have called it like a classic or if it would have been a favorite, but I would have had a good time.
Yeah. And I did have a good time, but a younger me would have had a better time.
I think I had a better time watching. I think if I would have gone and seen this by myself, I would have walked out mad.
Yeah.
Or if it would have also been without those two girls behind us. But because I was watching it with you and I got to see some of your reactions, got to have some of theirs, sometimes that lets you appreciate other things in a movie.
Yeah. And this is like, this is not going to be a movie that I watch again and again, but, like, if somebody wanted to watch it and we had a couple beers and a pizza, I would be,
yeah,
I'd be fine with it.
It'd be fine as, like, maybe a Stephen King marathon.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be what I start with or what I ended with. Maybe one of the middle movies.
So here's your question. Here's my question to you. What do you think you would have thought of this movie if you hadn't read the short story?
If I hadn't read the short story? Are we taking the theater-going experience into account, or are you asking me to be as objective as possible?
Either. I mean...
Theater-going experience, I would have been like, you know, that was a pretty good time. I'll go read the short story.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have gone and, like, seen it by myself, I honestly think I might have walked out going, that was really stupid and generic, because I've seen it a million times.
I had convinced myself prior to seeing the movie that it was going to be so different from the short story that people who hadn't read the short story would probably enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually think that they used so many elements from the short story that it actually elevated my enjoyment of it.
I wish they would have used a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I was really expecting the other therapist to be the boogeyman, and that was going to play into it somehow.
Yeah.
I swear they teased it. I like the way she was smiling whenever they did the red
they
light
did.
Test.
That also crossed my head.
I was like, I bet, like, when they first introduced her, even from the trailer, like after reading the short story, I was like, that's gonna be the boogeyman. She's gonna be like convincing them it's not real and then fucking with them the whole movie.
Oh, but Daniel, it subverted your expectations.
That's my least favorite phrase.
I know. Okay, so let's move on to some themes. There are some very, very Stephen King themes in this movie.
Dealing with the loss.
That, and especially losing a child or losing a parent.
Mm-hmm.
These things come up in Stephen King a lot. And again, we see another example of a parent. This time, they've lost their spouse instead of another child, but it's still grief that they're trying to deal with while still raising their remaining children.
And not dealing with it maybe the best way, but the way that seems kind of real.
Yeah, it's so...
Like, who played the dad? He seemed like I've seen him in a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah, and when we will look at his page when we get to characters, but that's Chris Messina.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I swear I've seen him in a shit ton of things.
Well, let's go ahead and let's just jump to characters. And we'll start with Dr. Will Harper, who's played by Chris Messina.
Because we can, like, tie characters into themes here.
Yeah.
Who's in Argo. Okay.
So,
but he's not Ben Affleck.
Air. He's not Ben Affleck.
Birds of Prey.
Victor Zsasz. I don't know. Let's Google him.
I haven't seen Wonder Woman 1984 still, so I can't say. I just watched Fury of the Gods, though.
Wonder Woman? 1984?
Mm-mm.
It's not great, but it's way better than Birds of Prey. I promise you that.
Okay. Yeah, I saw Shazam 2 recently.
Oh, this guy. Okay.
God, maybe I haven't seen him in a lot of things. He looks super familiar.
And he was a decent actor.
No, like, he did a good job. I don't think anyone in here did a bad job with what they had.
I think overall, the movie was very well performed.
The little girl was adorable, and and finding a little kid actor that can actually act is a treasure.
We're going to table that for now, because I'm going to talk about her when we get to her. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I haven't seen, other than Birds of Prey, I don't think I've seen anything that this guy is in.
He just must have that generic white guy with gray in his beard face.
I was actually thinking he was kind of cute, like, the whole movie.
No, like, if I was, like, full gay instead of just, like, a quarter gay, I'd be like, that's probably my type. Like, mm-hmm. Dad energy.
He had those tired dad eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then comparing him to, like, some of the other parents that we've met in Stephen King's stories. So I was thinking about Bill Denbrough's parents
mm-hmm.
in It, who lost Georgie, and they just, like, completely shut down. And he does better than them. Like, his thing is, he lost his wife, he still has to raise his two daughters, and he hasn't shut down. He's still trying, but his daughters want him to talk to them and let them talk to him about it, and he doesn't. Like, yeah. He avoids it, which I get. Like, you don't want to talk about that shit, but you have to as part of, like, the grieving process. And to top it all off, he's a therapist. Mm-hmm. So intellectually, he knows that. But emotionally, he just can't make himself open
actually
to his kids.
Deal with it. And he really, you were right when you compared him to
Lewis.
Yeah. Because that's just so similar to how, like, the very clinically thinking doctor ended up reacting.
Yeah, because Lewis is a doctor, and he thinks about death very clinically, and then Gage dies, and he can't.
Yeah.
Because he's too emotionally invested in it, because it's his son, obviously. It's... This movie, you're right, a lot of, like, the horror elements are very, like, very generic Hollywood, but the themes and the characters are very Stephen King.
I almost think that if they would have scaled back the horror even, like, 20% and focused more on just the character building, that the movie would have been better.
That ties into my Koontz.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll get there.
Let's keep going. Let's talk about the elder daughter, Sadie Harper, played by Sophie Thatcher.
Also did a good job.
Yeah, she was excellent. She was in Book of... Oh, she's one of the teenagers in Book of Boba Fett. So we have two Disney Plus Star Wars stars. What else? I've heard of Yellow Jackets. I haven't watched it. The Exorcist. She was young. Oh, that's the Exorcist TV series. I haven't seen that.
There's an Exorcist TV series.
Yeah, I don't know much about it.
God, are we gonna have to watch that when we do The Exorcist?
Maybe.
We'll do an episode and see how it comes off.
Yeah. Okay, so...
We were surprised by the Miss series.
The only thing I've seen her in is Book of Boba Fett. But yeah, like, she was pretty good.
Yeah. The only criticism I had of her isn't her fault. It's the script's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right at the ending with the boogeyman. It's very, here's my one-liner, toss the lighter sort of thing. Which, if we were watching a movie that was filled with cheese, I'm more forgiving of than a movie that sort of took itself seriously for most of the movie.
That's my runner-up Koontz. It's not my Koontz. It's my runner-up Koontz.
I'm still mulling over my Koontz. I got my king down.
I have a very definitive Koontz. Like, this is my Koontz. I don't like it, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Vivian Lyra Blair.
This is young Leia.
Young Leia.
I know you were excited for young Leia.
And she is excellent.
She's so good.
I really... really hope that Hollywood does not destroy this beautiful little girl.
Same. I still haven't even seen Obi-Wan.
Yeah. I think you will like Obi-Wan, but even if you don't, I don't think you'll be able to deny that she's awesome.
Like Star Wars I don't like, I can usually find things I do like in it.
Well, and I think you will like it, because essentially the Obi-Wan miniseries is really just like a sequel to Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. It just carries Obi-Wan and Anakin's story and gives it kind of a tighter bow on it.
She was very good at being like a genuine little girl.
Mm-hmm. Because she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have four younger sisters, so that's my experience with them. And honestly, you kind of reminded me of, like, your daughter when she was younger.
Yeah.
Mostly because, you know, you're a nerd and you passed a lot of that on.
Yeah, and she's too smart for her own good.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, she was at Star Wars Celebration this year, and she did a couple interviews. And her diction and her vocabulary is, like, scary. She speaks like an adult.
Is it as good as Humbert Humbert's?
No. But, I mean... In Vivian's defense, like, whose is?
Yeah. Before we write that review, I need to send you some quotes.
Yeah. I would... I swear, I'm going to have a nightmare that Humbert Humbert goes after Vivian Lyra Blair, and I'm just chasing Humbert Humbert with a samurai sword.
She's going to play Lolita in the next adaptation.
I don't... God.
Who do you cast as Humbert Humbert? For a new adaptation. So someone more... Chris Pratt.
I was going to say Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, God, that's good.
Yeah.
We should table that for when we actually do Lolita.
I think whenever we do like these dream casting things, we should have like two answers for all of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can choose somebody who's been in a Marvel movie and somebody who hasn't been in a Marvel movie. Because every time like these come up, it's always somebody who's been in it. Maybe not like, you know, a Chris.
These days, it's hard to find one who hasn't been.
Yeah,
it's like Leonardo DiCaprio and who else?
Yeah, Julia Roberts. I don't know. Not a lot. Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Yet. Yeah.
Yeah, yet. And I mean, if Robert Redford was in a Marvel movie, he's been in two.
Yeah.
He's been in two. So anybody could. Paul Newman.
But yeah, she did a great job. One of my favorite scenes in the movie was when she came and kicked her sister. How'd you do that with your voice?
That was really great.
It was very mad little kid.
I loved the scene right before she got thrown into the TV where she's hiding like over the couch and she's using the PlayStation controller to fire light arrows on the screen to kind of light up the room.
I really liked the, we don't talk about cinematography too much. I thought the cinematography in this movie was surprisingly good.
Yeah, it was pretty decent.
I was like, this isn't like, and you know, I'll suck this movie's asshole to the end of time. I'm like, it's not quite like The Ring levels of cinematography, but I'm like, this is pretty decent. This is like showing its budget, I guess.
For me, like production, music, acting, like this movie was actually firing on all those cylinders.
Like those technical aspects.
But of course, like, right, like the script is always like the most important thing, and it's not a bad script, but it has some issues.
I would call it middle of the road.
Yeah.
But for God, the tooth scene, like, because they even set up the tooth, so it doesn't come out of nowhere. It goes, and then like she falls out of bed, it bleeds some more, and they're like, oh, we'll finally do that. And it's even tying into, this is what my mom used to do, so they're tying it into the mom.
Yep.
I'm surprised how well this movie tied some themes together.
Yeah.
Like some of the early shit was raising my expectations as we were watching it.
I think that the part of the script that was developing the characters and telling their story was very well written, but it's the horror aspects of it that aren't as good. But I have more to say than that.
When we get to it.
Okay. Speaking of, has been in a Marvel movie, Lester Billings, played by David Dastmalchian. I don't know how to say his name.
That is a last name.
He is Paul Rudd's friend, one of Paul Rudd's friends in the Ant-Man movies, the Russian guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Small. He wasn't in the movie a lot.
But he did, like, I believed him that he was distraught.
I almost think if you did, like, a straight adaptation, he could have been a Lester.
Yeah. And I liked how they played him, where they didn't play into his, like, sexist and racist aspects, but they also didn't, you know, make it so that he couldn't have also been that character.
Yeah.
He was a dad, and his children got killed, and maybe he was upset about that, but he was also afraid that the boogeyman was going to kill him.
Yeah.
So, essentially, he was playing Lester Billings from the short story.
You guys, everyone can look up the bully characters. I think did a very good job as teenage girl bullies.
Yeah, they did well. And we'll talk about the actual boogeyman when we get
to, like, scary
to
shit.
I guess the last character to talk about was Maren Ireland, who played Rita Billings, which I could not get behind this at all. Like,
yeah.
I would have
cut almost all of that.
I would have cut absolutely every scene. She was only in two scenes. She was in that initial scene where Sadie goes to visit the house, and then she calls him and she goes over it. So it was just those two scenes, and I actually think you could have just cut those completely, and it would have been better.
I honestly think it would have been better without her. And that also ties into, like, the horror. They made the boogeyman, like, super tangible in this, and yeah, it shows up at the end of the short story, but I guess, like, just the idea that, like, you're slowly coming to realize the thing in the closet is real was scarier to me.
Yeah.
Than the actual big monster that's chasing you.
You're right. And that might have been better But what I liked about this movie... Hi, Leo. Is that... What I liked about this movie is that... It was mostly very subtle. You never... Until the very, very end, you never got a clearer... A full sight of the boogeyman. Mm-hmm. You saw the eyes. You saw small glimpses of it.
That was all good.
And what turned me off about Rita Billings is that... The horror, up until horror, the horror of the movie was very subtle and subdued. But then she's like out of a Mad Max movie, and she's so over the top. She doesn't feel like she fits in this movie.
Do you remember the end of A Quiet Place?
Yeah, I didn't like the end of that movie
either. Yeah, where like they shoot the monster with the shotgun. Mm-hmm. She was the worst, all the worst parts out of The Quiet Place.
I rolled
up into a single character.
I loved The Quiet Place until like the last 20 minutes.
Up until the last 20 minutes. Yeah. But that character, as a character, she was the last 20 minutes of A Quiet Place. Just stuck in two random spots of the movie.
They're making a third one.
Yeah. I still haven't seen the second one.
I haven't either.
I have low interest in it because... I think it worked as like a proof of concept. Like, yeah. Here's a very deaf-friendly horror movie,
mm-hmm.
and I think you could do like more deaf-friendly horror movies. But I don't know how interested I am in the expanded universe of The Quiet Monsters.
I think I'm interested in the world that exists. Like, I'm more interested in like the world building where people have to live without making noise, mm-hmm. than I am about the actual monsters themselves.
Yeah, specific characters, because I don't know, yeah. if I care about the continuance of these three story,
yeah.
as opposed to like how someone else is dealing with it.
Yeah, I think I would be more interested if it was someone else. I do plan to watch A Quiet Place 2, but it's not yet.
Yeah, it's low on my priority list. Real quick for Lisa Gay Hamilton, who was Dr. Weller. I swear she's a red herring. I swear that was intentional now.
No, I think it was, because she was purposely making some very fucking spooky faces in that scene where she was using the blinking light. And maybe they just did that so that they could include that in a trailer to misdirect people.
It was very, we need a good scene for the trailer shot.
Mm-hmm.
She's another person that you could almost have cut out of the movie. I know it comes into play with, like, the dad's not going to therapy with his daughters.
Yeah.
But all the other scenes, like how spooky she is with the phobia fighting.
It's very misleading.
And I almost think the movie would have been better if they tried to tie her into it, but...
Yeah.
That's also the movie that Daniel's picturing versus what we got.
I think...
You want a second beer?
Sure. I think this is an okay / decent, kind of on the lower level. It's a good movie. Yeah, it's fine. But I think with a few changes, it could have been a great movie.
Yeah. I think that's part of my issue with it is it flirted with greatness.
Yeah.
Especially early on when they're like dealing with the themes of grief and you don't know like, how tangible is this boogeyman or what's going on here?
The first half of the movie is definitely the superior half.
Mm-hmm.
And The low points for me were Rita Billings and just like the whole kind of the end in the basement and the fire and the lighter.
Even the stuff with like the high school bullies, because I don't like, we talk about over the top bullies, but there are times when like you've gone through a tragedy and other people around you are still assholes. And that struck me as like, yeah. Somebody that isn't going through that might just tell you to get over it because they're super insensitive.
Yeah. And specifically, shout out to Maddie Nichols, who played Natalie the Blonde Girl.
You did a great job as a bitch.
Yeah, you were awesome. Play a bully again. You were born for it.
Yeah, and like, I'm sure she's super nice in person.
Yeah.
But you do have a very good bitch face.
Yeah.
Your IMDb photo makes me think you're mean.
I cheered when you got slapped across the face.
I love watching your reactions to movies because you get so into them.
Yeah, the two beers beforehand helped.
I'll kill you all! I'll drive you crazy and I'll kill you all! I'm every nightmare you ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I'm everything you ever were afraid of.
Let's move on to scary shit, and I'm going to ask you, is this movie scary?
I think the scariest parts in this movie are ruined by the least scary parts in the movie. The closet door just kind of eerily opens, and the girl's like, or she's just rolling her ball, and it rolls back.
It's a moon nightlight.
A moon nightlight?
Drake has one. He has the same one.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
But those scenes I kind of feel were maybe not scary, but they're effective at building tension. But then they do the loud jump scare noise, and they do it a bunch.
Scary? No. I thought there were scenes that were tense.
Yeah, it was very good at building tension, but I feel like it squandered the tension, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
The Boogeyman's design was kind of, it was kind of disappointing to me.
But I don't have a specific, like, improvement. Like, I'm not sure exactly what I would have preferred.
What I would have preferred, most people would have hated, mm-hmm. which is you never actually show it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, people want the money shot.
Yeah.
Everyone wants the money shot, but it just looked like a big, spooky CGI monster.
I did like the reveal that there's, like, a face in it. Inside. That was fine. But, yeah, it just looked like a kind of a spider with four legs instead of eight. Just like a spindly little dark.
You haven't gotten to it, but I compared it to the Wendigos from Until Dawn. There's a very specific sort of monster that sort of become popular these days, which is long limb, skinny person.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
The one thing maybe I would have changed for this specific design, you know, how like they had the face and the coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Make it be the mom's face, or like whoever's voice it's mimicking.
I did think the fact that it mimicked voices was creepy.
I also think it was underutilized.
Yeah, and it's a good callback to the short story, because in the short story it wears masks.
Yeah.
And it was, that would have probably looked silly if it actually like
tore off a face.
Yeah, but like mimicking a voice is a good like adaptation for a different medium.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciated that. There's lots of good. There's lots of not so good. Like
I thought it was very end of the Quiet Place at the ending.
Yeah.
Where it's this thing that they literally shot 50 times with a shotgun. Oh, but fire will work.
Yeah.
You know, but what I mean?
Generally, like, fire is the end-all be-all for horror monsters.
Yeah, but that's also part of my problem is, like, when you take these, like, sort of unique ideas and then you genericize them.
Mm-hmm. I like how you invented a word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do that every once in a while.
Now, I wasn't crazy about it either, but I also, like, I'm not sure what would have been better.
It's not going to ruin what this movie is, mm-hmm. but it's not going to be... It's not going to elevate it to what it could have been.
Yeah, it's not going to be a classic. It's not a standout. Like, it's a fun movie.
I think if it wouldn't be opening against what it's opening against, it'd be doing okay.
Yeah. I really appreciate that they fit it in 90 minutes.
Yeah. I hate that that's a compliment, because I prefer whenever I don't realize the movie is 2 hours long. But...
Across the Spider-Verse is 2 hours and 20 minutes long, and I felt every minute of it.
I'm sorry.
it was very similar to the 3 hours that was the Batman.
I still have to get you to watch Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Which I will at some point.
We should do that before we see The Flash, because apparently they reference it.
Well, then, yeah, I have to. I also need to watch Black Adam, and you need to watch Wonder Woman 1984. Is that the only one you haven't seen?
That's the only DC movie I haven't seen as of now.
I've only... Black Adam and Zack Snyder's Justice League are the only ones I haven't seen. Okay, so...
Maybe we'll do a DC marathon before we go see The Flash to try to hype it up.
Those three?
I hype it up. I think that if Zack Snyder would have made Zack Snyder's Justice League in terms of, like, tone... What are we looking at? Oh, the cat. How, like, is the boogeyman behind me?
I'm sorry. My mom's cat has been with me for 2 weeks now, and it's been the first week hiding from me, yeah. And now it's out interacting, and I'm just, like,
it let me pet it a minute ago.
Yeah.
But I think that if he would have made a movie with the sort of tone and pacing of Zack Snyder's Justice, like, not the length, because 4 hours is still too long, I think that he'd still be making them. I think he'd still be in charge. That's my opinion of the movie.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't worry about hyping it too much, because I really wasn't a fan of Justice League, so yeah. Anything...
Like, could it be worse?
Yeah, I just doubt it. I doubt it.
Where are we at? Scary? Yeah, we weren't scared.
It wasn't scary, it was kind of tense.
There was good tension building that was sort of squandered.
Yeah.
The power of Christ compels you! The power of Christ compels you!
She asked about what happens when you die, which I thought was going to tie in more.
Yeah.
I guess they sort of had, like, the spiritual aspects, because she kept trying to beckon Flames to get her mom to give her messages from beyond, mm-hmm. and then it happened at the end by almost sheer coincidence.
Which I wasn't crazy about, but it did feel very Stephen King.
That does feel very Stephen King. Stephen King likes to play into sort of a... fate and coincidences, like, kind of lining up.
I feel like the person who wrote this script has read several Stephen King books. It's not just, like, somebody who is just, like, fucking around.
Especially because how much of, like, the actual short story is included in this.
Yeah, like, they've obviously read that short story.
My fear when we were going into this is, like, they would have, like, a generic outline of what this story was, and then... It would just be spooky. I mean, it did end up just being spooky shadow ghost.
Yeah.
But
I think that I was afraid it was going to have the boogeyman and look, there's a therapist in the movie.
Yeah.
That was going to be it.
But there's a little bit more of it, and it felt like they at least understood what the story was sort of about.
Yeah.
Oh my God, are you Stephen King?
No, I'm Dean Koontz.
Oh.
Kings and Koontz, you said you definitely knew what your king was.
It's Princess Leia.
Yeah.
It's the little girl. She's fantastic.
She is also my king.
I think all the actors did a good job, but I think that if all the other actors would have done, like, a mediocre job, she could have carried them.
Yeah.
Which is a lot to say for, like, a 10-year-old actor.
Yeah. I don't even think she's 10. I think she's younger than 10.
Like, 8.
Because when she played Leia, I think she was playing a 9-year-old Leia, and she was younger than that. Born 2012. So she's 11. She's looks young for 11.
Yeah, she looks like she's 9. Okay,
so she turns 11 in 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks young.
Yeah, but she did a great job.
Yeah.
But easy king for me.
No, she's excellent. I wonder if she's been in anything else other than... Yeah, oh, my God, she's actually been in a lot of stuff.
She's been in a shit ton of things.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hope they don't destroy this little girl.
That's what I say about every child actor I ever see. These, the more I learn about Hollywood, the more I start to think, hey, maybe we shouldn't let kids be there at all.
Yeah. Just, like, maybe start them at, like, age 13 or 14 instead of...
I would even say 18, and we just don't have kids in, like, movies anymore.
Yeah.
That's how bad a lot of it ends up being.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. Like, maybe she's the next Drew Barrymore, and she has a career her whole life and turns out to not be a shitty person.
I hope so.
I do get kind of Drew Barrymore vibes from her. Yeah, she's also my king. And my Koontz is Rita Billings. Like, I just... That whole, like, I'm a crazy person and my house is full of candles. Like, I understood it, but the rest of the movie was kind of subdued and subtle, and I just... It was too much.
I agree with you, but my Koontz is going to be the very Quiet Place ending.
Which is my runner-up Koontz, so, yeah. I mean, I think those are... If I could change two things, those would be the two.
I honestly think that if you would change those two things alone, it would go from being, like, a C-minus movie to almost a B.
Yeah.
B-plus.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah, no, it's not bad. I was expecting way worse, which might mean I'm also being kinder to it, but I also, like, the cinematography was good, the acting was good.
And we're going to rankings, and I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, middle feels about right.
It's better than pretty much all this stuff here on the bottom for me. Like, I think it's better than It Chapter 2. Even though, like, obviously, like, the highs in It Chapter 2 are better than anything in this movie. But, like, there's nothing...
There's nothing that, like, offends me in this.
Yeah.
Like, offends me as a Stephen King fan, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, there's things that offend me from, like, a script writing perspective, but it's just like...
I'm going to make it my new number 29. Actually... Maybe it's better than... I don't know. Maybe not. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to make it my new number 30. So, you know, almost directly in the middle. Better than a lot of the stuff we've seen, but definitely not... This is not The Birds. This is not The Shining. It's not the it's not The Second Coming of Jesus. It's a decent little horror movie.
Yeah. Start at the bottom and I'll work my way up here. Okay.
That's what she said. And again, you can go to our show notes, join our Discord, and go to the rankings page to see our rankings.
This is kind of hard, honestly.
Yeah, and this is getting harder the more movies we do.
Yeah, the more we do, the more I'm going to say, like, on a different day, this entire ranking list would probably change, but...
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna put it right below The Mist 2017.
Makes it your new number 35. So we have pretty similar.
But I want to justify it. I think that Firestarter 2 Rekindled, again, not a great movie, but it's really
entertaining.
It's really entertaining, but it's below it because I think the Boogeyman's above it because I think the Boogeyman kind of has like more of a steady actual quality to it.
There's also like potential for the Boogeyman to be like a great movie, but that doesn't really exist within the what is Firestarter 2.
And I put it below The Mist because, well, the Boogeyman did surprise me. It didn't surprise me as much as the Mist series did.
Yeah. The gay best friend's a rapist.
I don't think I've ever called anything so quick and so good.
Not that I can think of. If you were a producer and you've watched Obi-Wan and you've watched The Boogeyman and you want to cast Vivian Lyra Blair in the next spinoff prequel or the like a Marvel movie, like who are you casting her as?
For like anything?
Anything. Like, it's finally happening. My biggest nightmare is coming to fruition. The live-action Simpsons movie is happening, and she has to be Lisa Simpson.
She's young Sadako in my ring adaptation.
No. It's better than Lolita.
Yeah. I was going to say Lolita, but I thought that was mean.
I might have hit you.
Yeah. She's young Sadako. I don't know who's going to be old Sadako yet, or older Sadako.
The girl who played her sister.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually not bad.
Yeah, there you go.
Only in my version, they're trans instead of intersex.
And they go to school. You can get the same girls who played the bullies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this movie's coming together.
I've actually been writing it for a long time.
Good.
I need to get just famous enough to pitch it.
All right, question for the listeners. Did you see The Boogeyman? What did you think? Or did you just go see Spider-Man instead? Or go see Mario a second time? Or Guardians a second time? Which is cool.
But I really need to go see the Mario Brothers movie.
Mario's great. Guardians was decent.
Guardians I'm not in a rush for, but I do want to see it.
It was good. I liked it more than the second one, but not as much as the first one.
The first one's a hard tail to chase.
Yeah, and also the what's his name? Adam Warlock. I wasn't crazy about what they did with him, but
I won't name you Adam.
But it's also not exactly like a super important Marvel character to me, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. For further reading, if you like this movie, I really got Poltergeist vibes.
Poltergeist is good. Again, a lot of like super generic but not bad horror movies you probably like the Conjuring movies.
Still need to watch those.
Like it gives off very like Conjuring vibes. Sinister I think is a little bit more intense than this, but
yeah.
But it's in that kind of like Hollywood horror vein.
You know, I was actually thinking, like, as I was watching it, like, this could be, like, an okay, like, intro horror movie. I was like, this is probably something that Emma could watch, and it wouldn't freak her out too bad.
Especially because, like, they all make it.
Yeah. And, like, to date, like, the scariest movie she's... Like, the level of horror movie she's okay with is, like, Gremlins Jurassic Park. That's, like, that's what she can do. So I was like, maybe this movie would be, like, a good next step.
That's cute, though.
I put on the It miniseries once, and she made it 20 minutes. She made it to Georgie's bleeding picture. She's like, nope, done.
It's pretty bad, though.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have, like, a lot of horror experience.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. So that's the worst thing.
I think it's a good, like, I made my nephew watch it, and, he ended up enjoying it a lot, but he was freaked out. But it's a good, like,
scary.
It's a good baptism by fire horror movie.
It scared the shit out of me as a kid.
Yeah. Like, if you don't have a lot of horror experience, it's fantastic.
Upcoming on the Horror of Babylon, our next four Thursday bonus episodes will be Treehouse of Horror, The Ring parody, Treehouse of Horror, The Blob parody. Our next Four Horsemen sponsored episode will be The Toxic Avenger, and then the following one will be Fly by Yoko Ono.
I've been meaning to ask, are we going to do the Pet Cemetery Simpsons?
Yeah, I'm going to add. Actually, I think I already have. Yep.
Okay.
I have it after Fly. Dial Z for zombies.
Okay, cool beans.
Which, it's not, it's like Night of the Living Dead, Return of the Living Dead, and Pet Cemetery, I think, are the three movies that are, like, quoted as... It's like a mishmash.
It's, like, rolled up into them.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's really good, though. It's a classic. I think it's going to rank very high for me. Okay, so this Sunday is our episode on the Pet Cemetery remake, which will wrap up Pet Cemetery coverage. And then the next Sunday is our next novel episode, where we will review Daniel's third favorite book of all time, Lolita, by Vladimir Nabokov. And Hef and I will try to keep our lunch down.
It might be my fourth now, but only because I've read Taipan now.
Yeah, Taipan... Oh my god.
The more... I'm afraid to read more of the Asian Saga, because I'm like, are all my favorite books just going to be the Asian Saga?
As much as I love Shogun and Taipan, I would have thought that I've, like, blown through all of them, but I'm actually just, like, kind of hesitant to just, like, take the dive.
Because then we're going to be like, man, we should have just done the Asian Saga podcast.
And the third one is Gaijin, which is also about samurai and Japanese history again, so I'm like, oh my god. Like,
and if he features the descendant from Taipan.
Yeah, I have had mild spoilers that the coins from Taipan, like the promises that he made, like that shows up in books.
That's so great.
I know. I'm really excited. We should have just done a fucking...
If we ever get, like, super sick of horror, we can just change it to the Samurai of Babylon for a while and then just go.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. It's like, we can just turn it into a book club podcast at some point.
Yep. Yeah, and I thought that we could expand it to be, instead of a horror book club, it could be a genre book club, which would be fantasy, science fiction.
Samurai.
Samurai.
Yeah.
Historical fiction. Like, yeah. Okay. And then, after Lolita, we're going to do an episode on comparing and contrasting both movies, and then the next thing we're reading after that... the first Sunday of July is M.W. by Osamu Tezuka.
Can't wait.
Yes. And then the next episode after that will be Salem's Lot. So two bangers in a row.
One of our most liked tweets on the Horror of Babylon account is me talking about sexual identity with Sadako. I was doing Pride Month horror icons. Sadako was was our first one. Because intersex, and she identifies as female. Hmm. We don't have to do one every day, but I'd like to do a few of them, just kind of... because some horror Twitters are talking about how they lost followers for, like, stating their support, but they don't care. And I'm like, you know what? Even though Daniel's the hashtag conservative, I think I've made my stances pretty clear I stand.
We're an ally.
Yeah.
The Horror of Babylon is an ally.
I've made my stances pretty clear. I jerk off to way too much... transsexual porn to not be an ally.
Yeah, so we're an ally.
Yeah. That's it. Okay. This doesn't need to be in the episode.
No, but, I mean,
but I do want to make a few more posts because it seems like it's
I'll try to
important.
Think
you know what I mean?
No, I agree. Okay, so thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First, Breaker Chains, Defeater of SIDS, and
Logan, the Full Metal Patron.
And thank you to Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, which you can find at the Morgantown Mall, or at in Morgantown, West Virginia, or at the Mall of Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And say thank you to Ronald the Third, Grampus of Christmas, who was actually the person who rewrote the Boogeyman script and and added Rita Billings because he thought, you know, this just is not Mad Max enough. We need more Mad Max. So, thank you for going to see the Boogeyman with me tonight.
It is honestly not a bad time.
Yeah, it was fun.
These beers help.
I had a good time with the movie. I had a good time recording. It was a good night.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for everybody for listening. Stay tuned for our socials and stay scary.
Stay scary. I'm going to buy some more of this beer.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share, and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the horrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and all other major podcast apps. Stay scary.